Greetings of love this morning in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord. I appreciated that devotions Brother Al shared with us. In relation to the resurrection, the resurrection power, you think about that because Christ died in victory on the relation to the cross, God the Father was satisfied with that death and atonement. Therefore, as Acts says there, that the grave could not contain him. The grave could not hold him. It was impossible for the grave to hold him. And you can't keep God in a tomb. You can't. There's no way that the devil through death could do that. It just was a breaking forth. It was. And then you think about the scripture says, having loosed the pains of death for us. And then I think sometimes, that same power, I don't think we understand that entirely, but when we die in Christ and close our eyes in death, in faith, in the salvation that Christ provided for us, it's just as impossible for the grave to hold us. And that's, to me, a glorious thought. When you think about, death and the struggle and the sorrow and the power of death, but the fact is, because Christ was victorious in the resurrection, the grave will never hold any of his saints. There's going to be that bursting forth. And certainly this morning, that's an inspiration for our faith. Certainly appreciate those thoughts. There's a sense in which what we're going to be talking about this morning in this message is similar to that or related to this thought of the idea of that magnet and drawing us toward Christ because of that likeness. I realize that no one ever thought that we'd still be having to live stream a service like we are. And I know that all of us are getting very weary of not being able to meet together like we want to and believe we should. I just want to say this. Let's continue to pray that God gives us wisdom and direction on how to continue to move forward in relation to our situation. In the meantime, let's keep our focus on Christ. And I believe that will help us deal with all the rest of the peripheral things of life as we think of Christ and look to Christ as the one who is empowering us and blessing us. You may turn with me this morning to John chapter 4. Over the last several weeks, I've been thinking about this passage and studying it and reading it. Was blessed again. I know it's a simple story, one that we've heard many times, where we have Jesus meeting the woman at the well. But I was just blessed again with so many truths that we find in this passage that relate to us in our lives. And so the title of the message this morning is Thirsty or Satisfied? Thirsty or Satisfied? And we want to draw from this passage. I'm going to read beginning of verse 5 down to verse 26. And I would like to especially focus with the thought of thirsty or satisfied from verse 14. Where Jesus said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. All right, John 4 and verse 5. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Jesus here in this account, this story, teaches some very important truths about life and the desire of the human heart, not only for this woman, but also for us today. And we want to make this practical in relation to our own lives. And so we start with this question of whether we are thirsty or whether we are satisfied. And somewhere in between there is where all of us are in relation to our spiritual life. Now, I'd like to now think about the question, why is everyone thirsty? You think about this here in verse 15, where she says, you know, the woman saith unto him, Give me this water that I thirst not. And you go back up to verse 12, when she asked Jesus if he was greater than their father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. For thousands of years, this well had been in use, meeting the needs, the natural thirst, the physical thirst of so many people, probably thousands of people. And so you could ask the question, why is everyone so thirsty? Well, we know that the importance of water to the human body, and that we are made up of 80% water, naturally, physically, and the importance of water. You can go without food for a long time, but you can't go without water for very long. And so there's that natural picture that Jesus is drawing from this to illustrate a spiritual truth, a spiritual principle. And so there were many that came and drew from this well, this water. And it portrays to us the picture of a thirsty humanity. You know, and while this physical, natural thirst, you know, is present, it pictures clearly the masses of humanity suffering the daily unquenchable thirst of the soul, that spiritual thirst. And that's what Jesus was talking about. And it took her a while to get to that realization. But Jesus gently just took her and led her thoughts and led her heart to realize who he was and the ability of him to give that living water. Jesus here is talking about soul thirst that is so much deeper than the natural thirst. It is a picture of the continuous spiritual quest of the soul to find something to satisfy the deep longings and restlessness that is within every heart, and within our hearts as we think about that the desires, the longings, the emptiness that all of us have naturally. Jesus here is pointing out the truth that there is nothing in this world that will truly satisfy the thirst of the human heart except himself. And that's why really when you think about this whole story here, when Jesus said, I'm offering you that living water, what he really was saying was, I'm offering you myself. Drink from me. I am that living water and I can give that to you. And so we have that picture of Christ offering himself, as it were, in that living water to her. And while it took a bit for Jesus in leading her to this realization, we can see that in verse 17, where Jesus helped her to step across from thinking about the natural and the physical, when she said, well, I'd like to drink this water. I wouldn't have to come here to draw water anymore. I mean, that's a good illustration. I mean, if we had indoor plumbing, I mean, that's better than going downtown to a well and drawing your own water, you know, a couple times a day, you know, just as a current illustration. And so she said, well, you know, if I could drink this living water and never be thirsty again, I wouldn't have to come here and draw water. And in verse 17, he helped her step across, you know, to the spiritual implications of what he was teaching her and us. And he said, you know, go call thy husband. She said, oh, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, well, you're truthful. You told the truth. You know, you don't have a husband, but you've had five husbands. And the man you're with now, you're not married to. And that was a bit of a shock, I believe, to her. In her response, she said, in verse 19, she said, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You know, and stepping across to that spiritual understanding. And then, of course, she went into a kind of a diversion here in relation to where the Jews and the Samaritans thought they should, you know, worship. But Jesus was pointing out that the importance of the spiritual aspect and not just the natural. And so there is this thirst of the human heart that is within every person, that seeking, that desiring, that reaching out for something that is beyond us and beyond this life. And so often it is we try to fill it with the material things of life and seeking to drink from this life in the materialistic sense rather than from the eternal. The Puritan Richard Sibes said, all earthly things are as salt water that increaseth the appetite but satisfieth not. Now, in thinking of this, we could think of it from the perspective that God has made man, God has made us for eternity. And if we could go back and look at that verse in Ecclesiastes where Solomon referred to that. Behold, he has set the world in their heart, or eternity in the heart. Man was made for eternity. And of course, that was corrupted in relation to mortality and all of that in the fall of man. But and so that because we are made for the eternal world and made in the likeness of God, the things of time and sense here will never satisfy. It doesn't mean that we don't enjoy life. It doesn't mean that we don't enjoy the things that God created and the blessings he gives to us. But we can never look at these things and believe that they will satisfy the longing of the soul. Because deep within each one of us is that longing, that desire, even though for many people they never recognize it, but it's that reaching out to God. Every human earthly desire, however longed for, however sacrificed for, and sought after, once it is achieved, it only leaves us with the same empty feeling all over again. Now, we could look at the life of Solomon. We're familiar with that. And how he says, I tried to find pleasure or fulfillment or this to quench this thirst of the human heart, we would say, in seeking after pleasure and all the things that he could think about that life could give him. in relation to that thirst within his heart. And of course, he came to the conclusion at the end of life that it's all vanity. It's all foolishness. It's a vexation of spirit. And in the end, he was still as empty as when he started. More of anything in this material world will only lead to the wish for more. You take the person that says, well, if I just had another $100,000 or another $1 million, but they get to that point and then they just go after the next one. You know, there's never that satisfaction of saying it's enough, because of the human heart is just that emptiness and that thirst within. Now, think of this morning in relation to our youth, our young people, in relation to your life. You know, and the tendency of us in the time of youth, in looking forward and saying, if I could just get to this point, if I could just, you know, once I get my driver's license, or, you know, I get a job, or I have a special friend, or I get married, or maybe we have a family, and there's all those little mile points in our lives that we can look at that are not wrong in themselves. But in all of those, we can never believe that those attainments or those experiences will satisfy the longing of our soul. They're a blessing. God gave us those to enjoy, many of them in life, but in themselves, even though they are good, will never satisfy the thirst within the human heart. And so I just say that in relation to you as youth, to think about this in relation to your life and the thirst that is within the soul. And what we long for, what we desire, can be even good in itself. But we must be sure that we are not thinking of it as satisfying our need for God. There's that need to find sufficiency, the sufficiency of Christ in every stage of life and every age. And that's where, when we serve Christ in wholeheartedness and find his blessing upon us, drink of that living water, then we can enjoy every stage of life in its fullness, because we're not necessarily finding or seeking to find our full satisfaction in those things. We have already found that in Christ. Those extra blessings, privileges, that whatever God gives us, you could say, are a bonus on top of our satisfaction and blessing in Christ himself. The world and society around us, and these can affect us as well sometimes, is seeking to fill that same empty void that is within every heart of a Christian. But in the world, without looking to God, they try to fill that thirst. And why did this woman have five husbands and now had a man she was living with? Why? She had an empty soul. She was thirsty. She was trying to find pleasure, satisfaction, or whatever it was in something of this world. And Jesus helped her to understand that's not where you're going to find it. You're going to keep going back to that same old well because you're still thirsty. But when you reach out and find that living water, there's that satisfaction of life, and that thirst is quenched. And so it is today, and it can be, like I say, it's in society all around us. It can touch our lives. And you just stop and think with me of all the things that people pursue, and you just stand back and you watch it, and you just wonder, like, what are they thinking? Why are they doing it? Why do we do the things we do? You know, that drive for whatever it is. You know, the seeking of pleasure, trying this, trying that, trying, you know, and I'm not saying there's no place to enjoy some of the things of life, but what is driving it? What is behind it? You know, the search for pleasure and all the various forms that it represents. Entertainment, again, another part of this. And again, shows the thirst of the human heart, trying to find something to make them laugh, something to make them enjoy a certain moment of time. Or maybe it's pleasure, you know, in dimming the sensitivity of the heart through, you know, strong drink, liquor, or something like that, or drugs. Again, seeking some form of pleasure. Well, there's the seeking of wealth. People say, well, if I just had more, and just that drive for wealth, thinking that somehow that's going to satisfy. Or maybe it's power or position. You know, somehow, you know, the thing of ruling over men. You know, just to be in a position. You know, that can be just an expression of a thirsty heart that has not found that living water. And the list could go on this morning. There's just thousands of ways. And we can see in ourselves, and also especially in society around us, as you watch the pleasure-crazed world that is becoming bored with everything. They're becoming bored with everything. There is so much, and yet so much thirst. Why? The emptiness of the human heart. This raises the question of what we are doing with the great and continuous spiritual thirst of our souls. What are we drinking from to satisfy our thirst? It's like, I remember one older preacher years ago saying, and you maybe have heard this, I'm sure others have probably said it too, but he said it's like there's a God-sized hole in every human heart. Only God can fill that. I remember thinking about that as a picturesque way of relating that. Jeremiah 2 and verse 13 says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with cisterns. I did not grow up with having a cistern. I know there are those up north, places where there's not good water, that have cisterns to hold water. I remember my grandparents had a cistern. It was fed from the gutters off the roof that came down into their basement. That was an old house that my great-grandfather had built. And that's how they had a water supply. You can imagine how, depending on how fresh or how long it had rained since the last time it rained and how fresh that water was. And I know there was a yearly job, apparently, my father talked about where they had to clean the cistern. They'd pump it out, and then they'd get in there and clean it out. And you would not know what all you found in there. And, you know, we're spoiled. We have, you know, by and large, we have fresh water in every household. And so it's, you think about the cistern comparison to the living fresh water. And this raises the question of what water are you seeking, or am I seeking, to satisfy the deep thirst within our souls? Are you still searching for some new source, some new pleasure, some new entertainment, you know, some new thing to somehow get some of that satisfaction to relieve that thirst within? Or are we turning to Christ, the living water He wants to give us and is offering to give us if we will but accept it? Maybe we are trying some of both, drinking some of the pleasures of this world, seeking to satisfy some of our thirst there, and then maybe supplementing it with some living water with Christ, you know, sort of a half-hearted Christianity. You know, that can happen sometimes in our hearts, sort of half-hearted, not really taking the full cup of living water from Christ, or sometimes, as we say, trying to live with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. You know, trying to kind of have a little bit both ways. You know, it'll never work. It will only make for a more miserable, half-hearted Christian that finds no satisfaction in anything. And you notice that I think some of the most miserable people are those that are trying to have it both ways and finding satisfaction in neither one. Well, are we convinced this morning that Jesus is all we need? Jesus here was saying to her, I'm going to give you this living water. If you will take it, you must ask for it. I'm going to give you this living water. And when you have received this living water, you're never going to thirst again. The question that has haunted me in this whole passage and thinking about this, when Jesus said, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." The haunting question is, am I still thirsty? Have I found my thirst quenched in Christ and in my service to Christ, my love for Christ? Or am I still trying to find some of that satisfaction or thirst quenching pleasure in some other place? Are we satisfied this morning in our lives that we are not thirsty anymore? Because Christ is all we need. I'm not sure I've attained to that entirely. Corrie Ten Boom, and this is significant for her to say this, of what she suffered at the hands of the Nazis. Corrie Ten Boom said this: "You may never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. Then I think that there's a sense in which persecution would be good for us. If all that we think we have would be stripped away and all we had is Jesus. You may never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. The thirsty soul also feels, you see that in this passage, feels that God is remote to their experience." She raised this question about where is the right place to worship. You know, in this mountain in Samaria, or you know, our fathers say here, you say there, Jerusalem, Jews say that. Really what she was intimating was the fact that God was remote. He's either in this mountain or he's in that mountain, and that's really where we need to worship him. But Jesus went on to explain to her that it's not about worshiping in mountains, but it's worshiping in spirit and in truth, because God is a spirit. In other words, Jesus was saying that God is not remote to your life. God is not remote to your experience. God is here. God is with you. God is everywhere. And the time is coming where you don't need to go to these places. I think speaking of the fact of his death and the fulfillment of the Old Testament law, that man could come through that torn veil into the very presence of God wherever he was, because God was a spirit. And so in our lives this morning, when you think about whether we are thirsty or satisfied, do we feel that God is remote from us? Or have we drank of that living water that Christ is offering to us and feel that Christ is near, that God is near? He's not far off in some mountain somewhere, but he's here within my heart, and I can worship him right here. Another question: is any of us spiritually dehydrated this morning? When you think about the idea of thirst, you know how it is to be very thirsty and to drink that cool, refreshing water. Nothing quite like it on a hot day. But spiritually, are we dehydrated? There's so many things around us in this world to take our attention, to take us away from the living water of Christ. And we can walk around like a lot of dehydrated Christians. that don't really have that living water within, and we have that thirst of soul is come back to us again, and we're thirsty because we've been looking in the wrong place to find fulfillment and the answers to life. If we are spiritually dehydrated this morning, it's our choice. It's our responsibility. We don't have to go to a certain place to receive this. It's up to us. Like Jesus was saying here to this woman, God is a spirit. You can worship him right here in Samaria. You don't even have to go to Jerusalem anymore to worship. Just worship him right here. If we are dehydrated, it's because we're not reaching out and asking Christ for that living water that he wants to give us. I'd like to look now in the last part of this message at the question we've been looking at, why are so many thirsty? Excuse me. This question is, how can we be satisfied with living water? Now I'm going to talk a little bit about the living water. We've been referring to this, and I probably should have had this in the beginning to explain what it was. But we looked at the thirst. Now we're going to look at the living water. What is living water? What are we talking about? We talk about Christ and giving himself, and all those things are true. But I believe the living water that Jesus here is referring to, at least in part, I don't claim to understand it all, but it is to spiritually drink of all the provisions and the blessings that Christ has made available to the believer. The living water is forgiveness of sins. The living water is salvation. It is reconciliation. It is all the things that this woman needed in relation to her life and all the sins that she had committed. And really in recognizing Jesus, who she was, or who he was, she was on the path of partaking of that living water. And so it is to spiritually drink of all the provisions and blessings that Christ has made available to the believer. We too often, I believe, think that as a Christian, or we think about what as a Christian we should do. And I'm not saying that this is necessarily entirely wrong, but let's just think about it from this perspective. The Bible tells us that we are to be thankful. Okay, so we know we're to practice some thanksgiving in our lives. We're to do that. The Bible talks about praying and tells us we ought to pray. And so, okay, that's something on our list to do. We need to do this. We need to pray. The Bible talks about reading and studying the scriptures. And so we know that this is something we need to do. It's on our list to do. We want to do this. And I'm not saying that that is entirely wrong, but I just want to back up from there and think about now this the aspect of living water, and that these things, I believe, are a part of this. Excuse me. I believe we too easily forget that these things are a part of the living water of Christ within us. And so think of it this way. A truly thankful heart, when we have that, because of the living water within, our relationship with Christ, through salvation and his grace and mercy in our lives, a truly thankful heart will change our whole outlook on life and our relationship with others. And so while thankfulness is something we need to do, in a sense, or we need to be thankful, it really is should be that natural outworking also of that living water of Christ within us. And so sometimes you say, well, I need to be thankful for this, when really we don't feel like it. The problem is not maybe simply that we lack thanksgiving, but it may mean that we have not been drinking of that living water of Christ in our relationship with him. Fellowship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in prayer is so refreshing and strengthening to us. And you think about that in relation to partaking of the living water. You know, we can grudgingly go to the scriptures. We can grudgingly, you know, read our Bible in a sense, out of a sense of obligation. But do we do it because we love it? And we love to study the scriptures. We love to have Christ's presence with us through his word. That is drinking living water. And so it really comes down to very simple principles in relation to what it means to drink of this living water. He has made his scriptures available to us. He has opened heaven to us in relation to, I refer to the veil in the temple being rent. He's opened paradise. He's opened communion. We don't have to go through a priest. We can just pray to God. It's that simple. Christ is part of that living water he gave to us, that we can just drink of this. Meditating on the scriptures is so beneficial to every part of our being. And that, again, is drinking of living water. The scriptures are alive, the Bible says. Hebrews tells us that. Quick and powerful. And by reading this scripture and drawing near to God in Christ in scripture reading is drinking living water into our soul, into our being, and will change our whole outlook. It will change and satisfy that thirst of the soul. Well, a few more thoughts in relation to this living water. This flow of living water from our lives will bless the lives of all we touch. Jesus said here in verse 14, "But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Another scripture Jesus referred to, that the water is going to flow out of us. When that living water is within, it's going to flow out of us. It's going to be like a spring. You cannot stop it. It's like an artesian well that's bubbling up. There's pressure within. And that flow of living water then is going to flow out and touch, you know, the lives of others. Bless their lives as well. You think about this in relation to our lives. When we struggle with difficulties with other people, what is the problem? To me, in thinking of this scripture, the thought really came to me was, it's my problem because I have not allowed that well, that living well of water, to spring up. I somehow choked off that pressure from within. I've choked off that flow by seeking for other things in my life, other ways in which I want to serve God than maybe what God wants me to do. And then I get into situations where I'm having difficulties in my relationships. It's not because I need to go and learn how to get along with people or take lessons in relationships and all that. I'm not saying there's never a place for any of that, but you know, but the real problem is right here. I've not been partaking of that living water. I'm not at peace with myself. I'm not at peace with that thirst within my heart. You know, and when we get thirsty, and it shows up in contentious relationships, it's just one of the things that happens. We need to get back to being satisfied with that living water. Jesus said, if you've drank of that living water that I'm going to give you, you will never thirst again. You will never thirst again. If we are thirsty again, we have cut off that supply, that spiritual water, that living water in our lives. Another is that we will enjoy the peace which passeth understanding. Partial quote from another scripture. To be at peace with our Creator God. This woman's life that we know, from what we know of what Jesus said about her, and all the things that she had done in her life and who she was as a person. And she recognized that it was true. Was a picture of a person not at peace, I believe, with her Creator God. Again, you think about this in relation to that living water. That when we're satisfied We've drank of that living water, that relationship with Christ. Then we are at peace with God. And therefore, we're going to be at peace with the world around us. We're going to have peace with our fellow men. We're going to, you know, it's just a peaceful person. That's why Jesus said there in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the children of God. Peacemakers, because we have peace within. There's that satisfaction. We're not thirsty anymore. Also, we will be secure in his knowledge of every facet of our lives. Jesus said to her, go call thy husband. She all of a sudden realized that this man was more than just a man. She recognized him, at least at this point, as a prophet. And later, you know, when she went back into the city, told her her townspeople, she said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? When we have drank of that living fountain of water from Christ, we will be secure in his knowledge of every facet of our lives. That God, that Christ will not say to us, go call this person or go call that person. Go, you know, and point out those areas where we have failed. But we're satisfied. We're comfortable that Christ knows every single thing about us. He knows all our secrets. See, this woman had secrets when she first came to Christ. When she was there in that initial conversation, she thought he was just a stranger. That he was a stranger to her and that she would have been a stranger to him. But what she was a surprise and startling was that he was no stranger to her because he knew all her secrets. Are we satisfied that Christ knows all our secrets? That's part of us having or being satisfied in drinking of that living water. Also, another thought in relation to this, you know, this living water from Christ, he says, will spring up into everlasting life. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. While that living water is here for us today to be that source of power and strength spiritually, it is also that same force, that same bubbling up, that same pressure. We talked about this in the beginning of the service, in Brother Al's devotions. That resurrection power that will open our grave. It'll secure our place in paradise. Resurrection power, you know, that springing up. I like that term. It's that power springing up into everlasting life. And so this morning, when we think about this passage and reflect on our own lives, what are we running after? What are we seeking? Are we thirsty or are we satisfied? Is Christ enough for us? Or are we trying to find also some sort of spiritual or some sort of water to satisfy some of the other thirsts that we might have that we have not allowed Christ to give us fully that living water? There's a song we sing sometimes, like the woman at the well. I was seeking for things that could not satisfy, and then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. There are millions in this world who are seeking for pleasures earthly goods afford, but none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Christ, in Jesus Christ my Lord. Then the chorus, fill up my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Psalm 42 there says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Do we seek it? Do we desire it? Do we long for it? To find that water brook, that living water. Psalmist goes on to say there in the same psalm, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And this morning, are you satisfied? Are you thirsty? There's a sense in which this analogy doesn't completely follow through, because there's a sense in which while Christ satisfies us spiritually, there's always should be that longing after him, that seeking of him, that seeking his living water. And as long as we're in this life, we're going to continually need to draw from that and make sure we are satisfying our souls with him and not switch that to the things of this world. Psalm 17 and verse 15, I'm going to close with this verse. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. There's a part of us, because we are made for eternity, that we will never fully be satisfied in this world. We are made for a different world. And that's why I believe the psalmist said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. May God help us today to continue to drink from this living water that Christ has given to us, so that we can find that eternal life, that we never have to thirst again. May God bless us. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you for the stories of Christ that he has given to us, and the teaching in relation to life and to understand the realities of life. Father, we thank you that you have made us for eternity, that it is not your intention that we are to live forever in this corrupted and sinful world. We look forward to that time, Father, when we can awake and open our eyes and see thee in thy greatness, and to be satisfied in the resurrection, to awaken thy likeness. Father, we know that we are in a world where we face many distractions, many ways and areas in which the devil and sin and the world would try to draw our attention away from the real purpose of our lives as a Christian. There are many cisterns, Father, that may at times seem inviting or may seem even acceptable. But Father, help us to keep our eyes upon our Lord, upon that living water. It is so simple, yet so promising and so powerful. So help us, Father, to keep drinking deeply from that living water so that we can continue to be thy faithful children. We think of the many this morning around us who are so thirsty, seeking all kinds of things and all kinds of ways to somehow satisfy that deep longing with him. Help us, Father, to keep giving, as it were, those cups of cold water, those spiritual truths, and to help them see beyond this world, beyond this material things of life, to the realities of eternity and what you as Christ has to offer them in their relationship, just like this woman that we looked at this morning at the well. And Father, we just pray that we might be there as Jesus was at those wells of water, pointing individuals and people to a better way. Bless each of us. We continue to pray, Father, for your wisdom, your direction, your grace in these unusual times. We would find your will and purposes, and we again pray, Father, that we would be able to meet together as a congregation and fellowship together as a brotherhood in the near future.